Welcome to the 5:30 p.m. Community Affairs program here on KFM, Grand Junction, Colorado, 88.1 on the FM dial. Although I already think I said, did I already say FM?
I think so. KFM.
All right. Well, we are the computer guys, tech guys, whatever you want to call us. We are here to answer your questions, the emphasis on your questions for the next hour. You can give us a call at 241-8801, extension 1. If you happen to be listening on the web at kfmradio.org, you can give us a call at 970-241-8801, extension 1. And my name is Rick Castellini.
And I'm Matt Kettlewell.
And we are happy to be aboard today and help you through this crazy technology world. But before we get started with your questions at 241-8801, extension 1, jeez. Okay. I'll explain what that was in a minute. 241-8801, extension 1. We'll get our little particulars out of the way.
All righty.
All right. So, again, our phone number is 970-241-8801, extension 1. 241-8801, extension 1. My Twitter, if you want to send me a tweet, is @HelpMeRick. Matt, you are @Kettlewell.
Correct.
K-E-T-T-L-E-W-E-L-L. And we love questions on Twitter, but we really love the questions when you give us a call, 241-8801, extension 1. And for those of you that have been listening for a while, you know that if you don't call, then Matt and I will just geek out here for about an hour, and we'll start talking about things that interest us. We hope you find it interesting, but it may be we don't want to get too far down that geek rabbit hole. So keep us out of there. Keep us up on top of the tundra so we can talk and give you information that you enjoy listening to as well as learn from. That's the whole purpose of the show.
Yeah, that's not true, Rick. We want to go down that rabbit hole.
Well, we do.
We
but
do.
Not
you
on
and
radio.
I.
Not
you
on
and
radio.
I. Yeah, exactly. But it's not going to serve our listeners. So please, spare yourselves. Call us.
Very good. And yeah, you had a question you said.
Donna had tweeted in a question that said, is Microsoft Office 2013 compatible, backwards compatible with Office 2010?
Yes. The answer is a very easy yes. 2010 and 2013, most of the differences that are in between the two versions are that 2013 is to get people on to the SkyDrive and some of the web-based applications and push you towards that subscription model and compete with Google Apps. But as far as formatting and the DocX that it became popular in 2007 or became standard with 2007, that's still the same thing.
Nice.
So, yes, the answer is yes. They will work together.
Excellent.
Do you have any others off the top of the show?
I think there was an – no, I don't. But I do have something from Facebook later once we introduce – Other upcoming things that have happened. Yes.
So 241-8801, extension 1. Well, one big thing that's going on today for those of us that are in the geek world and love geeking out is that, and that's probably what, are you referring to that?
Yep.
Is that Apple released today the updates for iPhones and iPads and iPod touches and those kinds of things. And that's why my phone rang. I was too busy fiddling with it. I actually had it in my pocket on my bike. On the way down here, I downloaded it, and it had updated while I was riding the bike.
Oh, nice.
And so I'm still trying to figure out what's going on, and I forgot to put it on mute. I usually always put it on mute when it's in the studio. And then the other thing that I saw that was missing the first time the call came through, there used to be a decline, and I could decline the call, so it would stop ringing and go directly to voicemail. But that time it just flashed at me and said, slide to answer, and of course I didn't want to do that.
Oh, right. Well, I know that there's a couple other options, but I haven't actually read them because it's only rang a couple times since I've updated mine as well.
And there might be some new ones. I know that an option they included last year in the update version 6 was you can make some pre-recorded, so to speak, messages.
Right.
So you can message someone and send them a text, like if it's your wife calling or whatever, you can say, message, I'm on the radio, call you back in an hour kind of thing. And so that's kind of a cool deal. But anyway, so that's what's going on. So you said you got the update earlier today.
Yeah, I did.
And you've been playing with it.
Yep. In fact, kudos to Facebook friend Damien, who basically had sent out something that said that the iOS 7 update would be available in Grand Junction at 11 a.m.
Cool.
And I was like, how would you know at 11 a.m.?
How did he find out?
It turns out there was a website, I think it was on Matt Colt, that basically took the estimation that in previous releases, 10 a.m. Cupertino time is when they try and release it, and so we were an hour off from that, and so that's
And did it turn out that was the case?
It turned out, yeah. You know, when I had checked it at about 10 a.m., you know, there was no update, and then I was on the phone right at 11, but by 11:15, updates were ready for me, so.
And did how long did it take for you to download and install the update?
I initially had some connectivity issues. I'm sure that they were, you know, just getting inundated.
Right.
And so it took me a couple of tries, and I actually did reboot my phone in the process. But all told, it was about half an hour for me to download it and for it to run through and install it.
Also, for half hour, and that's about what happened to me tonight when I got home from work.
Mm-hmm.
I quickly got on the Wi-Fi and downloaded it, and it took a few tries to get it started. You had to agree to the license, and if you are trying to do that tonight, now that everyone's home from work, you're going to find that those servers are pummeled.
Oh, yeah.
And you just got to keep trying or just be patient, maybe do it when you go to bed kind of thing.
Yeah.
But once you get through, it does go pretty – I was surprised it went through that steady and quickly.
Yeah, yeah.
Overall.
But it's a 750 meg download.
It's a big update.
It's huge.
And the fact they can do that over the air and then plug it in and get it all done that quickly and all of a sudden we have a new operating system with new functions is pretty cool.
Yeah.
So yeah, so if you've done it out there and you've already updated and you have things, little tips or tricks that you've already found out that you like or parts of the things you don't like already, give us a call, 241-8801 and extension 1. Share your experiences with us. And Matt, what's your favorite thing you found so far on iOS 7?
Well, my favorite thing, it's going to have to be the camera. The camera, okay. Obviously I haven't explored everything. But the camera was really simplified so that you were not hunting for anything. You know, you hit the camera and you have an instant HDR on off. You can slide through whether you're going to do video, a photo, square, or a panoramic. And, you know, it even now includes filters to, you know, brighten things, lighten things, touch up your photos.
Kind of like Instagram a little bit.
Yeah, exactly, like Instagram. So it's all built in. It's a much simpler, very user-friendly for the camera. I mean, that's to me, that's my favorite app that I've found that's different.
I like the one thing I haven't tried it yet, but the one thing that you and I talked about before the show is that now if you combine your icons on your iPad or your iPhone, which if you start getting a lot of apps,
right,
it helps to be able to find them quicker if you categorize them and drag them together.
Mm-hmm.
And now those little categorized groups are unlimited in size.
Right.
I like that.
Yeah, those folders, they were kind of clunky before. I mean, it was a nice concept, but it was kind of, you know, not quite as smooth. And I agree. You know, now I think they put, you know, what, 4 or 8 icons there, and you can slide through them, and it's much easier to use, manage.
Very cool. And Matt showed me the camera beforehand, and I agree with you totally. They've really takes nothing away at all from taking the picture,
right?
But yet your tools are extremely accessible.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's how a user interface should be.
Exactly.
Out of the way when you don't need it, but it's right there when you do need it.
Yeah, hard to do, but they did it.
All right, here we have a call coming in, 241-8801, extension 1. Oops, wrong one. Hello, welcome to the Tech Guy Show with Matt and Rick. How can we help you?
Oh, hi, it's Teddy.
Oh, hello, Teddy.
How are you guys?
We're doing great, and yourself?
Good, thanks. Hey, I have a Mac question.
Go for it.
I know you're a big Mac fan, Rick, aren't you?
I get bigger every day. I've always liked Windows. I like computers in general. But I find out why Mac people love their Mac so much is because they're just well made, well designed, and they just work. So that's why I'm liking them more every day.
Yeah, and that's why a person like me needs that, because I have no time, as you know, to worry about it. So here I am on the verge thinking about getting the next version, because I've had forever, as you know, Rick, a laptop of a very older version. And I want to know, I think you guys were talking about OS X upgrades or whatever. So Is there any timing issue that I should think about in terms of get it now or wait a month or?
Well, and what Teddy's referring to is that the Apple is releasing in October. I believe it's October. I don't think it's November. I believe it's October. The newest version of their desktop operating system for laptops and desktops. It'll be 10.9, and they're getting away from naming their operating systems after cats. For the longest time, it was Lion, Leopard, Snow Leopard, that kind of thing. And now they're naming it after beaches and waves, and the first one is going to be called Mavericks. So to answer your question, usually if you buy the computer within a month, you're going to get a free update to the Mavericks. Even if it doesn't come with it, Teddy. But if you can wait 4 to 6 weeks and have it shipped with the new system on it, that's always, I think, a good way to go. Even though their updates are extremely easy to do, why have to go through that effort if you don't need the computer today?
Okay.
But I know that it's not coming out soon enough that they've announced that you'll get the free update. So when they come out with a release date for it, then you can buy it, and it'll say you get the free update. Now, that being said, their updates are never more than $20 anyway, so it's not a big break-the-bank kind of thing.
Okay, and unlike Windows or other things, there's never any issue with the updates. It's like, no, this version isn't a good one, or wait till the next one, or anything like that.
Right. They just seem to work great, and they work very quickly. I'm on their website right now for you, Teddy, and Mavericks, it just says coming this fall. They still have not come out with a date for sure, but the speculation is it'll be sometime in late October, the last time I read about it.
Okay, good to know. That'll coincide with the member drive.
Perfect.
For KAFM. I'll wait till then. Thanks, guys.
Always working. Good job. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
241-8801, extension 1. 241-8801, extension 1 is the phone number. We got another call coming in. Or you can tweet Matt at Kettlewell, or you can tweet me at Help Me Rick, and we'll get those questions on the air as well. Hello, welcome to the Tech Guys with Rick and Matt. How can we help you?
Yeah, I have a question about the new Apple upgrade. I have an iPad 2, and I read something that with older models, maybe it's good to wait before updating them. Do you have any advice on that?
Well, I was hoping I'd have advice for that because I started updating my iPad 2 before I left, but because it's a little slower slower than the newer iPhone, it didn't get upgraded yet. My thought is that it's usually good advice to wait on these updates, but as Teddy just mentioned on her call, if they tell you it's going to work on a particular system and the iPad 2 does say that the update is available for it, I got to believe it's going to be okay. I'm going to go with the flow and say it's going to do that. However, that being said, make sure that you have a current backup of your iPad. And that way, if something goes wrong, and do the backup in iTunes and instead of just the over-the-air backup, just so you have it locally on your computer. And the way do you know how to back it up?
Yep.
Okay, good. Yeah, back it up. And that way you always have a fail-safe. You can always go back if you decide, ooh, boy, this just isn't working quite as well as I'd hoped.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Hey, you're welcome. Thanks for the call. Have a good day.
Uh-huh.
Bye-bye. 241-8801, extension 1 is that phone number. We had another call coming in. Remember that if we have a call on the air, just let it keep ringing, and we'll get to you right after the next call. We just do not have a screener or any kind of way to put you on hold while we're talking to the previous caller. So please be patient with us, but give us a call, 241-8801, extension 1. So, yeah, I'm hoping that the iPad 2 is going to work just fine. And if they tell me it's going to work, I do have to say I trust the Apple, the engineers.
I do, too, generally. However, let's take this.
You want to take a call real quick?
Yeah, let's take the call first.
Hold your thought. Don't forget. 241-8801, extension 1. Hello, welcome to the Tech Guy Show with Matt and Rick. How can we help you?
Hello, this is Paul, and
I've got
a question about home internet. We don't have any, and it looks like there's lots of options out there, and I don't know if y'all can recommend a carrier or not. We both have Samsung phones under Verizon. We don't have a home phone.
Okay.
But we do have cable to the house.
You do? Okay. That's my next question is where you live.
We don't have a cable package or anything.
Okay.
And we'd like to be able to maybe stream movies or certainly at least download like Netflix and things like that. So what sort of things are we looking at?
Well, without a phone, if you go the DSL route, which is through the phone company, they're going to make you pay for a basic phone package in order to get that phone line to the house, turn it on so you have DSL. By the time you do all that, the cost of it is either right at or more expensive than our local cable option, which is now called Charter. And the Charter speeds are the fastest in town currently, and they're the most reliable, especially for streaming and that kind of thing. The DSL, even if you could save $5 or $10, usually the speeds aren't much higher than 7 or 8, which is okay for streaming, but it becomes bogged down if you do a lot of it. So my recommendation is if you can get the cable internet, that's going to be the fastest. You do not have to have the TV. You do not have to get their telephone. You can do just the straight internet.
Okay.
Okay.
Great. Appreciate the advice.
Hey, we appreciate the call. Thanks for calling.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Which is exactly what I do, Rick, is we have just internet.
That's what we do, too.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I don't need TV or phone or anything off of that. And, the only thing that does happen is every now and again you get a sales guy coming by and pestering you about upgrading to various packages. And I had a guy come by the other day, and honestly, he was the most polite guy I've ever had. He came by and he says, you use Netflix and, you've got an internet only. Would you be interested in, these packages? I said, no, thank you. He said, okay, fair enough.
Very good.
And so it,
Yeah, and they're usually pretty good. If you just tell them what you're doing, they're okay with it.
Yep.
241-8801, extension 1. This is Rick Castellini and Matt Kettlewell. We're talking technology tonight and answering all of your questions. Give us a call. Hello, welcome to the Tech Guy Show with Matt and Rick. How can we help you?
I have an older Macintosh desktop, and I have 10.4 on it. I wanted to know if I can go straight to 10.6 or higher without loading the intermediate.
Now, your laptop has currently what on it?
10.4.
The answer is yes. You can always so the caller is calling in as a laptop with a 10.4 Apple operating system, so that's quite an older laptop. Do you know how much?
It's a desktop, actually.
Oh, a desktop. Okay. Do you know how much RAM is on that?
Ooh.
And the way
not
you
offhand.
The way you find that, if you're nearby your computer, you just click the Apple in the upper left hand corner, and then click About This Mac.
Yes.
And then if you have at least 500 megabytes, you're going to do okay with 10.6. But it's going to be a little bit pokey, a little bit slow. You're going to want to think about upgrading that RAM if yours is available to upgrade. That's a tough one. You're going to have to go in there and check whether or not it has enough horsepower, because you need at least the 500 megabytes, and you at least have to have the Intel processor. You might have the older PowerPC processor on that computer. And if that's the case, then you cannot, I don't believe, go to 10.6. And what happened is, what I'm talking about there is that Apple, right around the generation of your computer, might have been a year or two before you got yours, so you might be okay. But they changed from making their own processors for their computers to working with Intel, who makes processors for Windows computers.
Right.
And when they did that changeover, that kind of made compatibility with older machines and newer software start to diverge. So that's the only thing you're going to have to be concerned with, is whether or not you have enough RAM and whether or not you have the Intel processor versus the PowerPC.
Okay, great. That's a big help.
All right. Well, we appreciate we appreciate the call.
Thank you very much.
Have a great day.
You too. Bye.
Love it. Love it. That's what
love
we want to see.
Calls.
We
yes.
love our calls. So 241-8801, extension 1. I did see some tweets. We got a tweet from Daniel, our buddy that used to live here. Now he lives in Utah. He says he just found the brightness slider. Thank you, baby, sweet baby Jesus.
Yes, and it's really easy to find now with that new control center. Have you found the control center
I
yet?
Did, and okay. I was looking forward to that.
Nice.
That's very good.
Now, on my particular iPhone, because I have this OtterBox, it actually cuts off the very bottom
So you can't do the swipe.
I can, but it took me a long time before I figured out that I really had to get my finger right there at the edge.
I feel an X-Acto knife coming up.
No, not me.
You're not going to X-Acto knife just a little?
No. I would rather swipe it two or three times. In fact, that time I got it on once. I'll bet with some practice I can just get it. But this control center is just a swipe up from the bottom. And it gives you the ability to quickly turn on your airport mode, your access, turn
Bluetooth,
on and off
Bluetooth.
Your Bluetooth, your Wi-Fi, your do not disturb, and what was this other one? Oh, your portrait orientation lock so that it doesn't flip around to landscape mode on you, and your brightness. Your brightness slider is right there. It's also where it puts the play for, you know, if you're listening to Pandora
or your
music. So there's your play, your forward, your back, and stuff like that. It also has a flashlight. So you can just, instant access to a flashlight. No more app to download. It's just right here. Turns on your front LED. It just works wonderfully. And then also has quick access to your camera, a calculator, and your timers. So it's, you know, just quick access to your commonly used things.
Very cool. And the one thing I was looking forward to that I just enabled, if you have an iPhone or an iPad and you've got the new update, the one thing I was looking forward to is automatic app updates.
Yes.
No longer do you get the little red circle with how many updates you have. You can go into the App Store now, go under updates, and you can tell it automatically update.
Yeah. I don't know why they didn't want to do that automatically. But, you know, in the past, but I am so glad, you know, like you, that now it's not a function, a maintenance mode thing that I have to do
right, to
keep everything up to date.
I just found out that it's going to be interesting, and as you wait for your apps to update, you're going to have to see that there's the new keyboard, which actually I like. The readability of the new keyboard's pretty darn good with the black on white.
Yeah.
And I like the font. But if you're on the, if you're using an app that doesn't support iOS 7 yet, like our mailbox app, then it just defaults to the old keyboard, which is completely functional, works fine. But when I pulled it up just for the heck of it there to see what was going on, I saw that that it indeed
did. You not update yours?
Yeah, that's the old keyboard.
That's the old one.
Let me look.
Oh,
closer.
Are you sure?
Oh, it might. Oh, I have not gotten mine yet.
Okay, yeah. If you turn on your automatic updates, you still have to go manually update the ones that are in your queue.
Well, but mine, I didn't have any in the queue. I haven't seen that one come through. That's weird.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Mine came through earlier today, so I had updated.
Cool.
So, yeah. Like I say, you know, we were talking off the air that we've been getting inundated with all these app updates, and a majority of them are just, you know, iOS 7 is the only comment it has for the reason it's updating. And so it's for things like the keyboard and the translucency and some, you know, a few other features.
Yeah, it tells me all my apps are up to date, but I did not see mailbox come through. That's what's interesting.
Yeah, I'll bet it's...
It'll probably come through.
Yeah, they're probably just inundated. Yeah, exactly.
I want to know from a technical standpoint, how does Apple, who has hundreds of millions of these devices, maybe that's exaggerating a little bit, but I think there are over 100 million installs.
I think so.
Between iPod touches... Mm-hmm. I mean, they've had 5 or 6 generations of iPhone and 3 or 4 generations of iPad.
You split it out between all the countries it's in, too. I'd say hundreds of...
At least tens of millions.
Yeah,
let's say tens of millions that are eligible for this update. There's no other operating system that gets up to snuff with the new updates as quickly as iOS. They've had many... Every time a new update comes out for iPhone, they show the percentage of people who are using the old operating system... How quickly they ramp up with the new one. And even though you have to hit, you know, repeat the process a couple times, if you step back and think, hey, I'm not the only one on this server, there are thousands, tens of thousands, millions of people downloading this at the same time I am.
Yeah.
And that's phenomenal. If you step back and think about that, it's phenomenal.
Right. Well, I can give you a partial answer to that. And there's different ways to do this sort of an architecture. Oftentimes, they will use a distributed cached servers. And so different locations around the world actually have copies of it. and so that when you're requesting it, you're not going back all the way to Cupertino. You're going to whatever your local regional server is,
right?
And so you're getting it faster, so it's not having to go through everywhere, and it's distributing who's, you know, having access to it. And each one of those locations probably has, you know, multiple machines, you know, whether that's 5, 10, 100, 1,000 machines. It's something that's called load balancing, which basically balances the load between all these different machines so that they do all stay up and can deliver all the content. Yeah. It is an amazing feat. And it's a lot like what Google uses, you know, for their search, you know, because, you know, think of all the billions of searches that get asked, you know, every month or every day. You know, they spread it out amongst, you know, thousands and thousands of machines. So it's kind of that same concept.
And that makes sense. Mm-hmm. But again, still think about, I mean, to me, as a lay, I consider myself a lay person when it comes to technology. And the fact that the engineers can intermingle all those and watch the traffic and, like you said, offload traffic. If one's too busy, offload it to a server that's not as busy.
Right.
I mean, it's phenomenal.
Yeah.
And I know software does a lot of it.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely it does.
But
yeah,
you still have to have engineers monitoring the software. I mean,
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Usually with their iPhones or iPads, right? They're getting yeah, alerts or something.
Yeah, they're getting all sorts of alerts. Oftentimes you'll have a network operations center when you're right, getting this big, you know, so a NOC, where you'll actually have these monitors up on the wall, and they have these green lights and red lights and things happening, and you know, people at phones that are kind of manning the stations, and if somebody notices something's not right, you know, and everything starts going red, mm-hmm, you know, then everybody gets busy and figuring out which machine it was, and they go fix it and whatnot. But yeah, but
all in a day's work for those guys.
Absolutely.
Now, Daniel, who we just talked about, our buddy that used to live here in town and now lives in Utah.
Mm-hmm.
And Daniel, if you're out there listening, in fact, if you can, I'm bad about tweeting at the same time. If you could tweet Daniel and ask me if he has Google Fiber yet, because he might. He tweeted something about it not long ago that he's in an area that might get Google Fiber, and I don't know if he has it or not yet. But he did say, make sure, if we didn't already mention it, that if you're going to update, always back up first. And if you have the iCloud backup, that's fine. That's the automatic backup that you can find in settings on your iPhone, your iPod Touch, or your iPad, and under settings and iCloud, and then storage and backup. And make sure that your backup is current. And if you don't do it that way, you plug your device into your computer in iTunes, you click on the name of your device, and then you can back it up there as well. So those are two ways to do it. And then he said his update failed, and he wanted to go back. It had to go back to the factory preferences or factory defaults.
Yeah.
And since I backed up before, no big deal, but it could have been bad. And you're right, it's always bad if you don't.
Right. Yep.
So thank you, Mr. Daniel. But Daniel, if you're listening, he might be. Oh, great. And you already got it out there.
Yeah.
If you're using Google Fiber, I'm curious.
Yeah,
how was that?
Yeah, because he's kind of in an area that I was thinking was supposed to be getting it as well.
Yeah, and I can't remember if they have it or they were just waiting on it or what it is.
I don't know the status of it.
So 241-8801, extension 1. 241-8801, extension 1. Give us a call with any of your questions. We love talking about anything. So if you have a question, give us a call. 241-8801. Viruses, slow computers. If you want to talk about, we'd love to talk to other people who've got the new update for their iPhone or iPad. How did it go? What is your favorite feature? What's some questions you might have or tips you want to share with other listeners? Give us a call, 241-8801, extension 1. So while we're talking about this excitement with the new iPhone operating system, there's a news story here at the top of the technology news. BlackBerry is going to cut 40% off of their staff by the year end. And BlackBerry used to be the king of mobile devices. And now they're cutting. And we know they've been on the downhill slide for the last couple of years.
Right.
But now they're cutting another 40% before the end of the year.
Whoa.
That's a tough one. Now, speaking of other people on the way out, did you happen to see the little spoof that Microsoft put up for a short time and then they pulled?
I didn't.
You heard about it?
Heard about it. Yeah.
Yeah, they did kind of a. It was an interesting. I mean, they tried to be funny. My funny thing is the Microsoft people try to be funny, but they are so geeky that they come off as being just out of touch.
It was very tactless.
That if a lot of people thought it was tactless, I thought it was just kind of not only a little bit tactless, but it just didn't make sense.
Right.
And for people who really understand technology, like one of the things that they made fun of after the announcement last week of what the new iPhones are going to look like, and I have to admit, I watched all of last week's their press conference. Did you watch it last week?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, it's an hour and a half of a lot of geeky things. and I have to say, it didn't have the flavor or the pizzazz of previous events that they do for the press. But if you dig through it and you start looking at what they put into the new iPhone, a lot of people say, oh, it's not enough. They didn't put a bigger screen. They didn't put more megapixels. But you have to look at what they have now, which is phenomenal. And A, they don't put a lot extra into it because there's already a lot there. And they don't have to put in extra megapixels because, as Adam has told us for years, it's not about the megapixels. It's all about light. And it's all about how you compose your photo.
Explain that to Nokia with their 40 megapixel.
Right, which is what Microsoft was backing because it's running the Microsoft operating system. And it's really, to me, it's demeaning when big corporations advertise and use mistruths or they come from a different angle to make it look like they're better. And when you know about a particular product, it's insulting.
Mm-hmm.
And when you hear other people who don't know as much about it kind of spat back, well, how about this? And naturally, they're going to do that. They're going to say, well, why isn't 40 megapixels better than 8? And so to try to melt that down so it's understandable and usable, you know, it becomes a different thing.
Well, let's put it this way. You know, the cameras that we have now are roughly 8 megapixels. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's producing about a 2 megabyte file size, which in my mind is still pretty darn big.
Especially for a phone.
Yes. So, you know, and you start multiplying that by, you know, 1,000 pictures you have on your phone, it adds up quickly. Now, you take a 40 megapixel camera and, you know, what you're looking at, you know, 20 or 30 megabytes. Yeah, that's not even emailable. Most, you know, like I think Gmail cuts you off at 20 megabytes. Well, you know, it won't
send, attachments.
For an attachment,
right.
Yeah. So you can't even send a picture when you're using a 40 megapixel camera.
And let's be real. For Windows operating systems, how well do they handle multiple large files?
They don't.
Not always very well.
No.
And on a phone? Come on. I challenge you. 241-8801, extension 1. We are going to do a real quick PSA announcement again for the Colorado Flood Relief Fundraiser. Tonight, Wednesday, September 18th, from 4 p.m. to 10:30 p.m., Rocky Mountain PBS, the Red Cross, and Community Food Share are hosting a telethon to raise donations to aid in the Colorado flood relief effort. To donate, call 877-667-6727. Funds raised will go to the American Red Cross and Community Food Share. All funds collected by Community Food Share will be split between Weld County Food Bank, Food Bank of Larimer County, and the Community Food Share, Boulder County. Once again, the number is 877-667-6727, and it's between 4 p.m. and 10:30 tonight, so it's only about another 4.5 hours. So it's Good Cause Colorado Flood Relief Fundraiser. And our phone number, if you have technology questions, or again, if you want to share your tips or tribulations that you had today with the iOS 7, give us a call, 241-8801, extension 1.
All right, I got something that's not iOS 7 related.
Good, all right.
All right, now you know who Grumpy Cat is, right?
I think I do.
Okay.
I've heard of it.
Okay.
So is it the gray cat that just looks?
Yeah, it has the flat face.
Yeah.
And it showed up in everything. You've seen this.
I've seen it.
Okay, all right. All right, well, let me read this to you.
Should I let you talk about Grumpy Cat?
I don't know. I don't know. Okay, so the frown-faced internet sensation, whose real name is Tartar Sauce, is now the spokes cat for a Friskies brand of cat food, Purina. So Grumpy Cat now has a real true place in the world. She's a spokes cat.
Oh, jeez. That's funny. That is funny. Daniel did write back to us on Twitter And my Twitter is at HelpMeRick. Matt is at Kettlewell. And Daniel said fiber is a few miles north of him. Free is 5 megabit. They give 5 megabit free.
Whoa!
If you live in that area. 1 gigabit is $70 a month. And he said, I'd probably do it, but that is pricey. But I don't know, Daniel, for $70 to get 1 gigabyte, if you're getting cable, like local, we get 15 megabit.
Right.
And that's about $50 for cable internet locally. And that's mm-hmm. kind of average. Now, my brother in Tucson, he pays about that, about $50 a month. But his base speed is 30 megabit.
Oh, nice.
So, and if we double ours in town, it goes to 70 or 75?
Something like that.
And that only goes to 30. And if you're getting 1,000, which is what 1 gigabyte is,
right.
that's not too bad.
I'd do it.
And especially if you're not paying for phone and if you're not paying for TV. And those are the two things I don't pay for. So I feel like I can splurge a little bit on my internet because I use the internet for entertainment. And I watch TED videos. And you're doing a Google. What smart TV system are you using?
Yeah, the Google TV.
Yeah, you're using Google TV. Mm-hmm. And it works great, right? Watch YouTube, watch TED, all those kinds of things.
Yep.
It's very nice. So, yeah, that's cool. Well, Daniel, if I were in your shoes, I might move a few miles north. But I'll bet they'll spread the fiber, too. And sounds like it is active.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Google Fiber aside, I've seen the pictures from his back porch.
Uh-huh.
He has one heck of a view.
Is he right on the Wasatches there?
He's got these mountains right behind there. He got kicked out of work. They had a gas leak there, and so he was spending the day on his deck doing work.
Oh, was that today?
No, this was a while ago.
Oh.
And so I looked at those pictures, and he's got it rough out there.
Well, I'll tell you, to me, when those Wasatch Mountains are out and there's not a lot of smog or anything there on that Utah Front Range or whatever they call that there, I don't know what they even call it, but it's beautiful.
Yeah.
It is a beautiful, beautiful area. And then you got the lakes behind you. You got the mountains in front of you.
Yeah.
Beautiful. All right, 241-8801, extension 1, 241-8801, extension 1. If you haven't heard what Google Fiber is, that is something that was started about 3 years ago or so, and Google announced that they wanted to bring super high-speed internet to bigger cities to help increase commerce and help increase internet commerce, and they benefit from that because there's more traffic, more ads, that kind of thing. And they had a big national contest where different municipalities could participate, and they just had to put in a short video and a short proposal to Google as to why they should be the first city to get this Google Fiber. And Google puts all the stuff in up front. They pay for the infrastructure, at least the initial infrastructure.
Right.
And but they have to have a certain buy-in from the community of who's going to use it kind of thing.
Right.
But anyway, the first city to get it, do you remember?
Your
sister lives there.
Yeah, Kansas City.
Kansas City.
My cousin, yeah.
And which was kind of a surprise. They beat out a lot of big cities.
I was surprised.
And they were the first ones to get Google Fiber and very well received, and people who are using it really like it.
Yeah.
And now since then, they've put it in Austin, the Spanish Fork or whatever that is over there in Utah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Austin, Spanish Fork, Kansas City. I think there's a place in Ohio. I'm not sure where it all is these days.
They expanded it out kind of quickly there after they got Kansas City in.
I wish they'd bring it over the hill here to Grand Junction. That'd be great.
Yeah.
All right, 241-8801, extension 1. I'm trying to think what other news things came out this week regarding anything big in the technology front. Anything on your...
There were a couple of things.
Tell me what you saw.
Well, where to start? I guess Bing. I don't visit Bing. Bing.com.
I don't either.
Apparently, they did a makeover.
Okay.
I'm
going to look at it right now.
Yeah, pull it up. Tell us your thoughts.
Bing, if you don't know what that is Microsoft's search engine. And so that's their competition to Yahoo. It's their competition to Google. And they used to call it just MSN Search, I think.
Something like that. I don't even remember what it was now.
I think it was just MSN Search. I don't see anything's different at the moment. That looks exactly the same.
Looks the same to me. Maybe it's in the results. Type something in and see.
Yeah, the one thing that they try to distinguish themselves, it's a pretty clean look. But they do have at the bottom of it a search history of what people have searched for on this computer. That's kind of interesting. And then they have a popular now, so things that are popular going on at the moment, which is, to me, kind of sensationalism. And I don't want to see that. I want to search. But they've gone to the same thing Google does at the top, where you can click images or news that kind of thing.
Yep, yep.
Which I'm always surprised how many people don't realize that those are there.
Yeah.
And how they're used.
Yes, they are so powerful. So those of you that are listening, you know, if you type in a search, say you're searching for taco salad, you know, and, you know, you're doing a web search, you know, and maybe you can find a recipe, but maybe you want a picture to see something that's more like it. You can click
that looks
the
Google-ish.
Images. Yeah, that looks very Google-ish.
Yeah,
does. They did change it.
They did change the results.
Yes, they changed the results.
Yeah.
So Bing.
Did you see what I searched?
No, I did not.
iOS versus Windows 8.
No comparison.
What Matt started. Yeah, tell. I'm sorry, I interrupted you there. Go ahead and tell what those little things do.
So, you know, along the top, you can click on...
In Google.
In Google. If you click on images, you know, it'll keep your search for taco salad, but now you'll be looking for images of your taco salad. And if you want to click on shopping or shop or something like that, I forget. But there's a few other options up on the top.
News.
Including news, yes. So news would be another. If you want to find out news about your taco salad.
So I did...
So you did. He's finding recipes and all sorts of stuff. Was that in Bing or no? That was in Google.
That was Google.
I've never seen it on the site.
I haven't either. That's a different search result. I don't know what OS I'm using here. Oh, it's 10.6.
Okay. Yeah. I don't. That was an interesting
display.
View. Yeah. The display is a little bit different because normally the search bar is that's like the old style that they used to have on the left.
Yeah. I don't know if because we're using an older browser. I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah. That
could be. Mm. This isn't the most updated.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's
okay.
Safari 4.
Oh, okay.
So that's probably what's going
on.
Oh,
speaking of Safari, did you see Safari in iOS 7?
Not yet, but I'm excited.
Yes. It was interesting. It was very different.
Yeah.
In fact, I didn't even know that I was in Safari, and I was trying to figure out what I was in because I thought that some app had maybe its own browser. And it wasn't until it actually popped up and said Safari wants to use your current location that I realized I am in Safari.
Yeah, and they've changed it quite a bit, right?
Oh, very much so. Very, very much so. You now have unlimited tabs, and their tabs, the way that they handled those, are really slick. It's kind of like Google Chrome, the way that you can slide up and down to go through them, except it does it more in a, you know, the center one is kind of taller, and the ones, you know, kind of like a circular carousel
right,
kind of a thing.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. Yeah, I'm going to check that out. I use Google Chrome quite a bit, and Chrome
right.
on the iOS just started rolling out, and they're going to not roll it out to everyone yet, but they're going to do, if you elect to, you always can elect to do it, they're going to send you compressed versions of pages to make it speedier on your mobile device.
Yep. Yeah.
Did you get it?
Yeah. I opted into that one.
I did too.
Yep.
I think I noticed a difference. I really do.
Yeah. I haven't used it enough since that's happened because I think I only opted in yesterday and I haven't used Chrome a whole lot since then.
I got a feeling I'll be back to Safari for a little while because I like what their idea, if it works well. I haven't tried it yet.
Yeah.
But if that kind of multi-tabs works good, I'll be excited about that.
Yeah. I mean, I like to keep everything in Google Chrome just because, you know, what I do on my desktop and in my mobile, it syncs up. I just wish there was a default preference for open my links in Chrome or Safari or Opera or whatever because right now it's... it's whatever the app is set to. And so sometimes things open up in Safari, sometimes in Chrome, and sometimes they have their own built-in browser.
Right.
And so it's kind of frustrating when I'm trying to maintain a history of where everything's at.
Right.
One of the few gripes I really have over the iPhone,
right.
honestly.
Now, I was thinking about you today as we got this update because you used an Android phone for a couple of years, 3 years?
A couple years, yeah.
A couple years. And we've talked about it, I think, briefly in the past, but what is now that you've been on the iPhone for about a year? A little over a year?
Probably 2 years now.
Oh, so it's already been 2 years?
Yeah, yeah.
So would you? What would it take for you to go back to an Android?
I wouldn't.
So you right now you don't see anything that would pull you over there?
No. Honestly, it would have to be a major faux pas by Apple to move away from the simplicity. I don't want the big changes.
Right.
I like the interface the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy. I know where everything is. There's nothing...
consistent.
It's very consistent. It's been consistent since the beginning.
Right.
I mean, you know, I would like to see a bigger phone, but you know what? I will deal with the sizes that they have, although it sounds like they might be coming out with something
a
little
larger.
Yeah,
there's rumors about it.
Yeah, you know, we'll have to wait and see. But honestly, they would have to start fragmenting themselves the way that Android does for me to start even considering looking.
So what was your biggest frustration with Android?
Well, battery life was one.
Okay.
The other was when I was, I think my phone was set to use 2.2 Android, which was Froyo or something like that. I don't even remember its name.
Right.
And at the time, you know, version 3 was out, but my phone manufacturer was not updating things to where I could update my phone to the latest and greatest.
Right.
And I realized, you know, there was fragmentation. Just because Android is coming out with a new version of the operating system does not mean that my phone is necessarily going to get that.
And some of them are way behind.
Oh, they're very far behind. It becomes almost insecure at that point.
Right.
And the insecurity of the ecosystem of the Android apps, the Play Store, really kind of started bothering me.
Okay.
You know, Apple really puts their thumb down and says, no, we don't, that particular app doesn't seem
they
safe to
us. They screen
that
pretty well.
Yeah,
that's right.
They do a great job of screening, and I appreciate that as an end user. There's no viruses. There's no bugs. The apps are clean. It's very styled.
And you can take advantage of the latest and updates from Apple and from the apps that you've purchased.
Exactly.
Or got free. It didn't matter.
Even if I had an older phone, if I had the iPhone 4, maybe even the 3G, I'm not sure how far back they went with this one. But, you know, at least a generation or two back, I can still get the iOS 7 on there.
Right.
And it's still going to work, and I'm going to get all the benefits of it. Yeah, it would take a lot for me to move away from the iPhone.
And people know, if they listen, that I'm a huge Google fan. I really like Google.
Yeah, me too.
And we're big Gmail users.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I want to like the darn Android operating system.
Yep.
I want to like it so much that a few weeks ago when the Nexus 7, their smaller tablet that's built with the latest operating system, and it's built by Google for Google's specs, and it was only $229, so it wasn't a big break-the-bank kind of thing. But I went out and bought it just so I could test it.
Right.
I didn't have any intention of keeping it. But if it would have worked great, I would have kept it.
Right.
But there was nothing exciting about it. And I can tell that when these new updates come out for Android, there's not near the fervor that there is for the Apple. Because number one, you're at the mercy of your manufacturer.
Right.
Are they going to allow that update?
Right. And there's so many manufacturers.
That's right. And then how are they going to implement the update?
Right.
They may not implement all of the pieces of the update.
Right.
So that's what really fragments it for me, for the Android user. And one thing I saw statistic about 3 or 4 weeks ago that iOS users, Apple iPhone users versus Android. Right now, iPhone users surf, the average iPhone user uses their phone for surfing the web. About 70 to 80% of iPhone users do that, which is pretty good percentage.
Yeah, really.
They're surfing the web on their phone. On the Android, it's less than 50%.
Whoa.
Less than 50% of Android users use it for web surfing. And that is crazy. And that's exactly opposite of what Google wants.
Right.
Because they want people going on the web, doing their ads.
Right.
And I think I think part of it is the person who buys the Android is not, and I've seen this, is not as technologically minded overall as the person who buys the iPhone. And if you go into a library or you go into an airport and you look at what people are doing on Androids versus iPhones, people on iPhones are generally surfing the web, you know, maybe playing with their pictures, doing something like that. People on Apple, I think.
Yeah, that was Apple.
And Android, people are usually playing a game or they're just texting.
Hmm.
And that's it. And that's kind of what I've seen, even from kids all the way up to adults. That's what I have seen in my work that people are using their Androids for. They don't know they can dictate. They don't know how to surf the web. A lot of them don't even know where the web browser is because it's not evident. It depends if your manufacturer didn't put a big web icon on the front.
Right.
You got to go hunt for it.
Oh, boy.
And then once they get there, they're not sure, you know, some people aren't sure what to do. So it's kind of an interesting, you know, comparison between the folks that are using the iPhones versus people that are using Androids.
Right.
And again, that's a very general statement.
Oh, right.
But again, I would stand with that statement by saying the majority of Android users are not as sophisticated technologically as the people are that are using iOS.
That makes sense.
I mean, do you see that?
Yeah, and I think some of that comes down to the economics
you
of it.
You skewed it when you were using the Android.
Well, you know, there's several of us that are very pro Google that we wanted it to succeed,
right.
And we wanted it, and so there's a lot of us
that jumped on board.
Yeah, and there's still some that, you know, stand by
the
Android, but, you know, for me, it was just...
But let's go back to economics. I think that's a big misconception.
You think so?
Absolutely, because if you think right now, before the new phones were released, you could get an iPhone 4S for $99.
Right.
Some places you could get it for $49.
True.
And some people were even still selling the iPhone 4, which is still a fabulous telephone, for free with a contract.
Wow.
So, I mean, I think there's a big misconception. The brand newest iPhone that's coming out this week, the 5S,
right,
which is the latest and greatest from Apple, starts at $199. That's what the Galaxy OneNote is. It's $199 and $299 and $399. So I don't know where the misconception about price is.
I'm not sure either. And this would be a great lead-in next time we're on the air, is find out. What are people's opinions on why aren't they buying the iPhone, or why are they selecting one over the other? Is price even a factor, or are there other things going on?
Right. Are they being kind of pushed there by the cell phone company, I think, sometimes.
That could be.
I know the one thing that's selling Android a lot these days is, as you mentioned earlier, screen size. Screen size is something that people, they really like to have that big screen.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're getting to the point where they're massive. There's even a term for it called phablet.
I want an iPhone phablet. I want one. I have always said.
You said that. I remember years ago you wanted to get a tablet.
Yeah.
And use it, a small tablet.
Yeah.
And use it as your phone.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, a Bluetooth wireless device, you know.
I think it'll come.
I think it's coming. It's going to have to.
Yeah.
I don't know. Not soon enough. But
I guess,
you know,
the big thing is do people really want to haul around a 5 or 6 inch screen as their communication device? Because then at that point it crosses the line at becoming a small computer.
True.
You know, and for you, I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
You totally want that.
Oh, yeah.
I do. You would do that.
Yeah.
But for folks who want to throw it in a purse or put it in a pocket.
It's not portable.
You're going to have to go back to cargo pants, dude.
Hmm. 80s, we come.
All right. Well, we appreciate everybody listening tonight, and we're going to go out with a little more music. 241-8801. Extension 1 is our phone number every first and third Wednesday. Next month, Teddy mentioned at the top of the show, is the KAFM fundraising, what do they call it?
The fund drive.
Fund drive, there we go. And we'll be doing an extra show, so we'll be giving away prizes during that show as well. So we want you to come out and listen to us noon to 1 on that'll be the
16th?
I believe so.
I think so. Something I think like it's about a month from now.
Very good.
Yeah.
All right, well, I'm going to try to scoot over here to the music if I can find it real fast. There it is. By gosh, I like that full screen. I think I'm going to like that. Appreciate all the calls today. Great calls.
Yes.
Great questions. Appreciate Daniel over in Utah tweeting with us during the show as well. That's always good to have him on board.
Yep, and Donna as well.
And Donna had a question via Twitter. Thanks, Donna. So have a great evening. Stay tuned for more great music here on KFM Radio 88.1 FM.